Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and Phil TV and HD on our website, philhendryshow.com. If you visit us over there, you get a backstage pass, and we've left the El Pacifico momentarily here. It looks like we're somewhere at, like, Wilshire Boulevard, and everybody's speeding there.
Yeah, look at all those cars, man. It'd be a cop.
Should get a cop over there, man, because all of those cars are just hauling ass. All right, now, as you can see here, if you can see, and if you can't, I apologize.
Get a backstage pass, you see it.
That's true. Anyway, there's the Phil Hendry picture disc of the year 2000. We have it for bid on our website right now. Right now, Dave in Florida with $100 bid. That's a pretty good bid. I mean, it is. I would say that that's probably even a pretty fair price. But for $101, it could be yours. But Dave's a good guy, and we don't mind him winning, if indeed he do or does or do dat, something like that.
Well, I could call. Is Frank? We had Frank on the line, didn't we?
We had Frank on the line. I don't want to talk anymore about that.
Well, he had the answer though on the Whistler or
no, it's called the Stranger.
Not the Stranger, the Shadow.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the Shadow.
Well, he said that the Shadow. We were talking, folks, about that. I don't know how the hell we got into this. How did we get into it?
You were the one that said no one knows what lurks in the mind.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, all I said was nobody knows what lurks in the mind of man or whatever the hell that line was. And then Bud asked me, what the hell is that? And I said, it's the Shadow. And he says, what's that? And I go, it's a TV show that used to be on. And then somebody said, no, it wasn't. It was a radio show.
Yeah, I said it was a radio.
Okay. And I said, well, I don't know what it's about. I thought he was a cop that they called the Shadow. And Frank said, no, it was a shadow, was just this thing that floated through the show. Right?
Yeah, well, what Frank said was, the Shadow was, what do you mean, a thing that floated through the show?
That's what he said. He said it, and sometimes it masturbated.
He did not say that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Do you think maybe he was kidding?
Well, yeah, I thought he was kidding, but then he went back to his tub.
Which, by the way, that was another thing. Him sitting in hot water, or standing in hot water, as I came to find out, he loses his gender confusion.
Oh, we've known that for years.
Well, then what?
Well, what do you want us to do, Phil? Have Frank sitting in a hot tub all the time?
Well, what is it that does that? I mean, maybe it's some kind of a therapy, right?
Well, yeah, it's just sitting in hot water helps him relax, and then he remembers which gender he's supposed to use.
Well, then maybe he needs to relax.
Well, no kidding, isn't he? Folks, Phil just said Frank needs to relax. No kidding.
Well, maybe you need to, pardon me for saying this, relax him.
That's our business, thank you very much.
Yeah, but all Mr. Hendry's...
That's our business, thank you very much.
Margaret, I'm not meaning anything, okay?
That is our business, thank you very much.
I understand, I'm not trying to... believe me, I'm not trying to be impolite. I'm just saying that, whatever it may be, you know.
Frank likes to relax, Phil. It isn't the relaxation. Somehow the hot water is therapeutic as he stands or sits in it. So the doctor said to him, well, do a lot of hot tubs. And so he started doing those.
Standing in them.
Well, I didn't know that. I said, Frank, are you in the tub? And he said, yes.
Hasn't he ever taken a bath before in his life?
Phil, he takes showers. I don't know. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, what, do you take baths, Miss Harry?
Excuse me?
You take a bath?
Most men take showers.
Yes.
Wait a second. Don't start looking at me like I'm some kind of a weird ass. Yeah, I take baths. Of course I do.
Okay.
What for, man? Would you light candles, too?
Yeah, man, probably like candles. Have one of them pillows.
Oh, Phil, please tell me that you don't light candles.
No, I don't light candles. Sometimes I take a bath if my muscles are sore, okay? Sometimes I take a bath to help me sleep. You know, I got insomnia. All right?
Yeah, that's a good excuse.
Good excuse? What are you trying to say, anyway?
I just don't think, like, a guy gonna take a bath. Every woman take a bath.
Everyone knows that baths are for women.
Let me tell you something about bathtubs, okay? First of all, they're the biggest waste of space in the history of the world. Hardly anybody ever uses a bathtub. When a woman takes a bath, which is maybe once or a couple times... you know, a month. You know, how often do women have... you know, Margaret, you seem to think that women have got more time to take baths.
I didn't say that. I said that the people that are more... Don't try to turn this around on me.
Well, I am. Or what, have women got all this leisure time and all they can do is take baths?
I didn't say that. I said it tends to be women who take the baths.
Okay. I think bathtubs, I agree with that guy, what's the guy? Andy Rooney. Remember him? God rest his soul. He said what a lot of people were thinking. What a waste of space a freaking bathtub is.
Well, tell that to the many women who do use bathtubs, especially a woman like me, because... Excuse me, I'm not finished.
Okay, I was just going to say something.
I'm not finished. Because...
Well, okay, do you need to say it?
All right, thank you.
What's she going to say?
It has to do with her girl time.
Hey, thank you.
All right, well, that's great, Margaret.
What's great?
Nothing. I just, you know, you made your point. You win again. You know, I take a bath. I'm a freak. You take a bath, and that's normal because you have all these physical problems, and bathtubs are really cool, except for guys. All right.
Well, I didn't say that you were a homosexual. I'm saying that it's a little, it's disturbing. That's all.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to say, Mr. Henry. It's a little bit disturbing.
What's disturbing about, you got to be kidding me. I've taken baths my whole life, as many men have. I take them when I feel like relaxing. I take them when I'm tired as hell. I take them especially if I'm sore. I take them if I get a headache and there isn't any aspirin or the aspirin's not working. Sometimes I take a bath. I took baths. Let me tell you what, man. When I was coming down with pneumonia, I was in that bathtub every half hour.
Why?
Because I was aching like a son of a bitch. You crazy? I mean, when you get the flu, man, every part of my body hurt. I couldn't cough, and it didn't hurt from the top of my head to my toes. And the only thing that gave me temporary relief, temporary, not full relief, temporary, was the bathtub.
So you had pneumonia once. What's your excuse the other, whatever it was, 58 years of your life?
Yeah, what's the excuse?
You shut up. All right.
Are we going to change the subject?
Yeah, I am, Margaret, because it's kind of boring, and you made your point. And I guess since I take baths, then I'm just one of the girls. And you better take more baths, or you're going to be one of the guys.
What's that crack mean?
It means the more baths you take, I guess the more feminine you are. So you should double up on your baths so you don't start growing a beard.
Yeah! Yeah! Ow!
You don't laugh at all. This one here gets to laugh because I'm racially tolerant. Henry laughs because he's the host. You get no free rein.
Yeah, on account of she's liberal.
Yeah. You know, I'm the one you hit.
Oh, quit pretending you're hurt.
She barely hit you, bud. She hit the papers is what she did. All right. That is fantastic. Thank you very much, Margaret, for your commentary on bathtubs. That was much needed. We'll be right back here with more from our news and information thing, including the success of the urban cougar. And I'm not talking about women now. We're actually talking about actual, you know, the cougar.
Yeah, they're all over the place, man.
Well, apparently, not so much cougars. I should say coyotes.
Same thing when you're talking about women.
Same thing when you're talking about women?
Yeah, you call her a cougar or a coyote. Same thing.
Yeah, a coyote's like a good-looking older woman, but she's kind of, you know, another year and it won't be worth it.
I got to wait till I hear this. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our pitch.
No, I haven't heard that.
The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, world famous and all that, till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The weekend is upon us. There's bound to be football, obviously. I follow USC, our local college. I do follow other colleges from the country. I follow Georgia. I follow Florida State. I follow...
Why do you follow Florida State? Do you live down there?
Because I live down there, yeah. Yeah, I even follow the fortunes of the Golden Gophers.
Now what is that, anyway?
That's a team, man. That's a team. What do you mean, what is that?
Well, what is that? Is that what the students call it? Is that the official name?
That's the official name. The Golden Gophers of Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. All right, yeah.
Why do you call them that, though?
Because, I don't know, because there's gophers up there, man. Because there's gophers up there.
Well, man, they got gophers everywhere. They call them the Golden Gopher because that's a special gopher, I guess. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny or anything.
Well, it's funny how it's coming out funny, though, you know.
But, yeah, it is kind of funny, but I mean, they call it a golden gopher, you know.
They call it the Golden Gopher. Golden.
Oh, I thought it was Golda Gopher. I don't know what that means.
Well, what did you think? Was her name?
Yeah, I thought it was like the... Like, remember that Israeli Prime Minister, Golda Meir?
And you thought they called the gopher Golda?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's possible.
Well, what is that? I don't understand. But do you think they're Jewish or something?
I don't know.
Golda Gopher. So the Minnesota Golda Gopher was what then?
That's the name of the team.
The team is a woman's name.
It's not a woman. It's a gopher. It's a lady gopher.
What's that mean, though, man? It doesn't mean anything. You know, a lot of stuff you think about doesn't mean a damn thing. You know that?
A lot of stuff you think about doesn't mean anything.
Well, wait a minute. Well, we're just trying to figure out how this came into your head, man, because the Golden Gophers... All right, I get that you misunderstood. You thought it was Golda Gopher, but that was the name of the team, and...
I didn't know if it's the name of the team, or I didn't know if it's the name of the lady that ran the school. I just knew that Minnesota is where Golda Gopher was.
It's possible.
Well, I think that, you know what, Bud? You really need to think of things a little bit harder before you accept everything. You're very lazy with your thinking. Very lazy.
Well...
All right, take it easy, everybody, all right? Who gives a sweet damn? Somebody asked me, do I have any college teams? Yeah, there you go.
Golda Gopher.
Not Golda Gopher, Golden Gophers.
Telling me to take it easy.
Well, how many times I got to tell this? Anyway, so yeah, I follow those guys. Not anymore, though. Now Bud has taken me completely off of following the Golden Gophers. I'll never follow their football team again.
All because of what I did.
Yes. Because now all I'll be able to think of is Golda Gopher. I'll be drawing pictures of her.
Is it true when you say Golda Gopher and drawing pictures of her, I started thinking about what Frank said about the shadow masturbate?
I don't know. Why did you bring that up?
Because I wanted to know.
I don't think the shadow... Frank is an idiot. Frank is...
My husband's not an idiot, Phil.
Then why would he say that the shadow masturbated looking through windows?
Phil, I don't know. The shadow... I don't know anything about the show. All I know is that it was a radio show about a shadow that crept through the alley...
And peeked in bedroom windows, according to Frank.
I guess so, yes.
And would have found out if the crime's going to be committed?
Yes, that's what the shadow did. He found out if there were crimes being committed, and then, if the opportunity presented itself, masturbated. What are you smiling at? So you think it's a big joke?
Well, yeah, of course I think it's a big joke. If Frank told you that and you believed that, I'll bet you anything Frank's lying, man. He's a lying...
Watch it.
Well, I got news for you. In the 1930s, on American radio, there's no chance at all, not even a remote chance, even if they made a mistake and it got on the air once, there's no chance at all that any character on radio in America in the 30s would peek through a bedroom window and then masturbate.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure, man.
Well, you know, you laugh about it, Mr. Henry, but we don't know as much about the media like you do.
And I don't like you calling my husband a liar.
He's putting you on. Don't you understand? He's putting you on. God. There's not a chance. I'm telling you, there's not a chance. This is the day and the age when they had that code, you know? You know what that is?
Yes, the Hays Code. I'm very familiar with it, Phil. I write about film.
Well, if you write about film, then you're aware of American culture in the 30s, and you know there was a Hays Code, and you know that there was very, very strict controls on what was seen.
That didn't come into existence till the mid-30s. The films in the early 30s, Phil, were very risque. Very risque. Jean Harlow would wear gowns in the movies that she was in the early 30s, and you could see nipple.
What could you see?
I don't want to yell it.
She said nipple, okay?
Are you kidding?
No, she's right, too. Jean Harlow, I think, was in some movies. She didn't wear any underwear.
You didn't wear any underwear? I mean, what, so?
So you could, it was very evident that she wasn't wearing underwear. And there were other instances. I think Rudolph Valentino, there's a famous picture of Rudolph Valentino wearing a Toreador outfit. And it's like, hey, did you strap that thing to which leg? And
now you put me on.
No, I'm not kidding, man.
The Hays Code was introduced to control a lot of these images that were really rather rampant in the early films.
Now, was it like that during the silent films?
I don't know, but I do know that in the late 20s and early 30s, there were quite a number of movies that were very, very graphic that way.
And then came this Hays Code, because... Every now and again, you see one of those movies that we're talking about. It's like on TCM or something like that.
Where can you go?
Well, slow down.
But it's not like porn, man, okay? It ain't like, woo-hoo, you know. It's just for the times, it was rather graphic. And I think it's interesting. Those movies are interesting only in light of the fact that they actually exist, and it gives us a look at what filmmakers wanted to do. It gives us a look at what actors and actresses were willing to do and what American audiences, I suppose, would tolerate. But this Hays Code, and I don't know who this guy Hays was. Do you, Margaret?
No, I don't. Some civil servant, you know.
All right, so it's some guy in the U.S. government said, well, I think he was the guy that ran the office that actually reviewed the movies, but they would look at these films, and if it didn't pass the Hays Code, then it was very hard to find anyone that would distribute, let alone exhibit the film. It was hard to find a theater for it. It wasn't banned, but the Hays office made it known that we do not approve of this. And, people didn't want, in those days, it was bad for business. It was today, if you run afoul of an official government edict, you're almost like a rebel. People sort of admire you. In those days, people felt Uncle Sam knew best, and so...
So they decided the movie's too dirty to see and everything?
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. It was bad for business. Maybe they didn't think themselves the movie was dirty. Maybe they themselves probably... Maybe they would watch that movie. But if they were in business as a movie theater, if they were in business as a movie distributor, they did not take a chance to show that movie.
But I'd run that guy out of business. The guy that made a movie.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to run him out of business, but it basically said to the guy, you're going to have to make some very liberal edits, you know?
That's what they wound up doing, cutting the film.
Yeah, they'd cut the movie or they'd do something to it that would make it more acceptable. But some of the films before the Hays Code were out, and what Margaret said, yeah, they were pretty graphic. All right, so that's that. Now, I wanted to talk about this damn coyote thing, because I think it's... And there's also the Hulk Hogan, Bud. Is that what you showed me?
Yeah, the Hulk Hogan story's pretty bitching. Man, why don't you talk like you've been to school? I have been to school. Oh, bitchin'.
Yeah, bud, you don't have to scream it. Hulk Hogan intends to sue over the grainy sex tape footage that found its way online this week. A lawyer for the Hogan Knows Best star tells E! News. Hogan Knows Best, what is that?
It's a new reality show, I think.
God, better late than never. I mean, I would have thought that Hulk Hogan would be a perfect reality star. Anyway... Attorney David Houston wouldn't say exactly when their lawsuit will be filed or who the intended targets are, but he said in no uncertain terms that they are commencing action. And that comes as no surprise, Houston said back in March when news of the existence of the footage first broke, that they would sue to ensure that no one profited from it. Hogan's partner in X-rated home movie Antics has not been identified. Houston said that his client was unaware that he was being recorded at the time. Look out. An anonymous donor slipped about 30 minutes of teaser footage into Gawker, which posted it yesterday. It's unclear when the tape was made, but Hogan is seen checking his ringing phone to see if it's his son Nick calling and indicated that the recording was made sometime after Nick's release from jail in 2008. I wonder if it was Nick.
Why?
Wasn't Nick the one that released some tape? I'm trying to think now. Am I thinking of Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Well, there was someone's son.
No, you find Alec Baldwin.
Oh, it was Alec Baldwin's daughter.
No, but what if he released it?
What?
What do you mean Alec Baldwin released it?
I don't know. I thought, is that what you were saying?
No, why would Alec Baldwin have Hulk Hogan's sex tape?
Maybe he was the one, well, I shouldn't say.
He was the one having sex with Hulk Hogan? Yeah, okay, great.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, you don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, folks, thank you very much. Bud, thank you. That was fantastic, Bud. Hulk Hogan, apparently his sex partner was Alec Baldwin, and it was Alec Baldwin that released the tape. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, it wasn't. It was Alec Baldwin's daughter that got a hold of it and released the tape.
You think he's going to sue his daughter?
Are you guys stupid or something? All right, we'll be back with more of our other news, the success of the urban coyote and what a coyote actually is. Bud Dickman will fill us in on that. I don't know who the hell they're going to be suing. I don't know who released the tape. I don't know. It is kind of messed up that he was being taped without his full knowledge. Kind of makes a man wonder, you know.
Well, don't worry, darling. I don't think anyone's going to be releasing any sex tapes of you.
I don't know. I hope not. I hope you'll keep those private, Margaret.
How dare... I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah, go ahead. Bye. Hey, don't release no sex tape, Margaret. Yeah, Margaret, please, please, Margaret. Let's keep it between you and me.
Shut your filthy...
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
I just want to say... We're off here. Your pie hole.
Phil Henry.
Thank you, and welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're online at philhenryshow.com, and very happy to be with you. Also at Twitter, at twitter.com/realphilhenry, and on Facebook at facebook.com/philhenryfans, P-H-A-N-S, if you want to like us. That'd be nice. It's nice to be liked, you know.
I think that's that whole Facebook experience is rather, I think it's dangerous. I think it's a little low class. What do you think of it?
I like it. It's people use it, Margaret, and if people use it, then that's where we need to be. Those of us in the media, those of us who are in the business of trying to attract people to our work, we have to be where people are, and so I'm able to connect to people there, Twitter, wherever, you know.
I just think it's very meat markety. You know, it feels like a meat market. You know, I feel when I'm over on Facebook, I feel as if I'm being passed around like I'm a piece of meat. You know?
Well, what do you mean? Like, everybody's hot for you and stuff?
You know, I'm not... I don't want to even go there with you, Bud, if you don't mind.
Come on, Bud.
Well, it's talking about people passing around like they're feeling you up and stuff.
I didn't even use the term feel me up. So don't go there, please.
All right, let's just, you know, leave it there. But in any event, join us over there at philhenryshow.com. Oh, and also, we are auctioning a picture disc on our website tonight. The top bid is $100. Looks like Dave in Florida may have this sewed. The picture disc, there's a picture of it on our website. But you have to be a BSP to bid on it. So maybe, you know, get yourself a Backstage Pass membership and you have yourself thousands and thousands, over 4,500 hours of full shows on audio. We have a video cast archive as well as the live video cast of our show every night on Phil TV. Is the success of Urban Coyotes a sign of bigger things to come? A mountain lion roams the streets of downtown Santa Monica until it is shot by authorities. A black bear. Did you hear about this, Margaret?
Oh, you hear about animals coming. I didn't hear about this, no.
A black bear searches Glendale neighborhoods for meatballs until it's captured and caged. Now, Glendale, Santa Monica, these are suburban areas of Los Angeles, not unlike where a lot of you guys live. Episodes of large carnivores entering urban areas are seemingly on the rise, and scientists say the beasts may be following a path worn by urban coyotes as well as skunks and raccoons before them. We used to think only little carnivores could live in cities, and even then we thought they couldn't really achieve large numbers, said urban ecologist Stan Gert. But we're finding that these animals are much more flexible than we gave them credit for, and they're adjusting to our cities. Very interesting. At a symposium Friday at Ohio State University in Columbus, Garrett described his 12-year effort to track and study almost 700 coyotes living in and around urban areas, including Chicago. So this is not just a Los Angeles problem.
Did you see a monkey one time in Miami?
Yeah, you know what? I did. And I have to be honest with you. I did, Bud.
You jumped out a monkey.
Yeah, it was a monkey. It wasn't a chimpanzee, but it was some kind of a monkey. Now, I saw this animal on Fort Lauderdale, on the Isles there. You guys in Fort Lauderdale, you know I used to live on Hendricks Isle. There's these little fingers of boat docks and stuff. I lived on one of those streets. And I used to jog. And I came down the street one day, and I heard this rustling in a palm tree, and I looked up. It was a monkey. Now, keep in mind, I'm not saying that there's a population of wild monkeys in South Florida at that time. Maybe there was. This is a long time ago, man, 30-plus years. But it could have been one that was in a cage.
Well, it could have been they have, like, pet monkeys get loose.
Yeah, it might have been something like that. But the animal that I did see that was far more fascinating to me than the monkey was the wild parrot. And these are creatures that I think that are originally were South American, indigenous to South America, and came here as pets or came here as caged animals and got loose. And now there is a wild parrot population in South Florida that are very colorful animals. They're big parrots. These Southern Hemisphere parrots are pretty big size.
They're like giant, right?
No, they're not giant, man. They only stand, pretty big-sized animals. But I don't know what impact they've had on the ecology of South Florida. I don't know what they've done to the balance
of power. Yeah.
It's not the balance of power. It's the eco-balance.
Yes.
Balance of power.
No, it's like the balance of power of the animals. Yeah, which animals, like when Russia and America...
It ain't like Russia and America, no. It's not the balance. There's not some animal down there going, okay, I'm the badass. Animals don't operate that way. Anyway, we used to think, so this guy's talking about tracking these carnivores in cities like Chicago, Los Angeles. By using radio-transmitting collars, Garrett and his colleagues were able to track the progress of the coyote communities and found that they were thriving in plentiful food sources for these animals. The survival rate of coyote pups in urban areas is 5 times higher than those of rural pups.
You're kidding.
Well, that means that, in other words, the coyotes are having an easier time in the urban areas.
Yeah. There's more food. There is more of a chance of survival in the urban areas. And it could very well be that humans, as long as you know how we are with animals, I think humans are getting smarter when it comes to animals. If the animal does not threaten us, is not posing a threat to us, is not posing some health risk to us, we generally are going to leave that creature alone unless we're stupid, like some humans are, and we go for kicks and shoot and kill them. But if we were doing that in any great numbers, these animals would not be surviving.
Now that you said they are surviving, then some guy's going to go out tonight and try and kill them.
Probably. It's probably.
But why are you talking about it?
Because I'm not going to keep myself from talking about these things because there's imbeciles in the world, okay? I'll just let there's good people out there as well, and I'll let the good people handle the idiots. How about that?
Well, Phil, what does that mean?
I mean that if a guy's going to... I told you what it means. I'm not going to go into it again.
You didn't shoot him.
I didn't say that either. I talked about that the other night, these clowns that are shooting sea lions. There's a lot of folks that don't like it. They're taking care of business. Don't worry about it.
Well, I don't like the way that sounds.
Margaret, they're working with law enforcement. Does that make you feel better?
Yes, it does. Because for a minute there, it sounded like you were encouraging people to go out and be a vigilante.
Yeah, that you can't do that.
Look, I wasn't even suggesting that. All right. I'm losing my place. Would you guys calm down, okay?
Sorry.
Anyway, the animals, Garrett said, were serving as a test case for larger carnivores like wolves, mountain lions, and bears. It's likely that humans will have to get used to increasing conflict between themselves and wild carnivores. Eradication programs aimed at specific species such as the coyote have shown mixed results, he said. When Garrett's study began in 2000, several communities around Chicago trapped and killed coyotes found within their boundaries. I think those programs will go away. It costs money. It upsets some residents who want coyotes living there. There's conflict, cost, and lack of effectiveness. I wouldn't like that.
You know what? What are you talking about, man?
I don't think I'd want to have these animals just out shot or killed out of hand. I don't like that. If they're proving to be a real risk, then we're talking, there's a problem.
Well, Phil, do you need to have a child eaten before it becomes a risk?
No, I don't need that, okay?
Then what do you call a risk?
If they are attacking and killing pets, yes. And then that would obviously mean that they're probably a risk to humans. I mean, if they're attacking humans or yes, then they're a risk. You're right. I'm sorry. It's just that I have a hard time out of hand slaughtering these animals if they're, eating out of a dog dish. I don't know.
Yeah, but you don't know if they're going to be eating a people or not.
You don't know. Right, but even though your grammar is absolutely atrocious, eating a people...
No, I mean eat a person.
No, you're right, bud. You're right. And there have been instances where these animals have attacked humans. I think it's very worthy. It's very worthy thing to consider. You're right. I've just got a real I got a problem. I hate to see these animals destroyed if they don't need to be. That's all.
Well, I don't know who makes that decision. And I'll tell you something else, Phil. I would hate to come to you as a mother and say, you see this? It used to be my kid. Thanks, Mr. Hendry.
What does that mean?
God.
You know what it means. Didn't you see Jaws?
Oh, will you stop? What do you mean, Jaws?
That woman came to the sheriff of the town.
Yeah, she did. And she slapped his face because the little kid...
Oh, well, the movie. Oh, I'm just so broken up about a movie kid getting eaten by a shark.
Why can't you have some sensitivity?
Sensitivity to what? What did you just say to me?
If I came to you with a hat and I said there used to be a head that this rested on and the head is gone, how would you feel about that?
I'd probably think you were insane.
You'd think, what if I told you the head belonged to my son?
Then I would say, where is your son?
Oh, my God.
Well, you got no sensitivity.
Wait. Are we living in America on the planet Earth now, or are we off in a munchkin land? Where are we now?
What do you mean, where are... I'm telling you, Phil. I'm being graphic for a reason, and there are mothers out there that understand what I'm saying. If I came to you and all I had was a kid's head, and it was my kid's, and you recognized it as my kid...
Yeah?
What are you smiling at?
Because you're absurd.
You know, Phil...
You're absurd, Margaret. You're absurd. A-B-S-U-R... You know how to spell it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That's an absurd thought, and it's an absurd statement. That's why I'm smiling. You come to me with your kid's head. What, did the coyote eat the rest?
Yes, Mr. Funny. Yes. Yes.
Then I would say you need a mental institution for walking around the neighborhood with your kid's head.
That's true.
Oh, so I'm the one.
Yes, you'd be the one. First of all, I'd say, what are you doing? I'd get you in a nut wagon so fast you wouldn't have time to say anything else. Then I would take the remains of that child and properly have those processed by the coroner or whatever. Then I'd probably interview some people that are sane and ask them what the hell happened. And then they'd tell me the kid was eaten by a coyote. And then I'd say, well, then we better damn well do something about these coyotes. They just killed a kid.
So you would act?
Of course I would. Two things I'd do. I'd make sure the coyotes are dead, and I'd put you in a nut house.
Why would you torture me that way?
You're walking around with your kid's head. Hello?
That's not normal, Miss Gray.
My child was just eaten by a coyote.
Yeah, your child's just eaten by a coyote. So you're telling me I'm supposed to what?
I'm in shock.
I'd have you evaluated by a psychiatrist, okay? I'm just... And now we have to take a break, don't we, Dan? We do. Thank God. Thank God. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What do you think? I still don't
understand.
Truth is our
bitch.
Are you guys...
The Bobby, Phil Hendry Show. Saying,
you walk around with a head, they've got to put you away.
I'm in shock over the...
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know, bud. I don't know that I want to talk about that.
I think it's insulting.
Well, that's what they call it, though.
Bud Dickman, Bud was telling us, so they call coyotes?
Yeah, well, that's a coyote, yeah.
But I'm glad you don't go cruising for a coyote, because there are no cougars.
Go cruising for a coyote because there's no cougars.
What's a coyote again?
Well, a coyote is a lady that is a cougar, but...
It's kind of, yeah, it's over.
Yeah, but it's over.
It's a lady that's a cougar, but it's over. You know, that's a pretty insulting,
Well, Phil, you were the one that had Ms. Dooley on your show a while back talking about women as cuts of beef, as I remember.
Well, she was the one doing it. I wasn't doing it.
Yes, called like old lady stew beef.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, you know, I have something to...
These yours?
Yes, I just dropped them. They would be mine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're hers.
Okay.
Can I have them?
Well, I'm just looking at them.
Give them to her, will you, Robert?
When I was on your program talking about the Greek booth at the Olympics, you remember that?
Yeah, the Greek guy.
Be quiet, please. You remember that, Phil?
Yeah.
Anyway, I told Bobby Dooley about that, and her response was something along the lines of, I didn't know they use stew beef in Greek food. And then she went, and then I heard click. So I called her back.
Well, you know she likes to get your goat.
No, yeah, I know that. But I called her back and I said, yes, they do use stew beef in Greek food. So today's your lucky day. And she goes, no, today's your lucky day. I've already been over there so he could sample sirloin.
Yeah.
Then click.
Yes, what happened then?
I'm not talking to you, Robert. I'm talking to Phil.
Well, all right, go ahead.
All right.
So let me, just so I'm clear.
You see, this, what I'm trying to say to you is that this woman is absolutely low class. There is absolutely no class at all. And this stupid, you're talking to Robert about Cougar. You have people in your life, is what I'm trying to say, Phil, who are absolutely the base. They are the dregs.
All right, so Bobby Dooley used cuts of beef, and I could see how it was insulting, and she called you stew beef.
Well, she thought she called me stew beef, but it didn't stick. Because I called her back, and I said, yeah, they do need stew beef, so why don't you get over there? And she said, no, I was already there. And the man said, thank you, I was looking for some sirloin. And then she hangs up on me. But, hold on, I called her back, okay? And I said, yes, he called me and said the sirloin beef that he thought he had with you was actually round steak, and the sirloin beef was me. And she said, no, you were the ground hamburger, 20% fat. Click. What are you laughing?
I'm laughing because of the way you're telling the story. What do you think I'm supposed to do?
It is pretty funny.
What's funny about being called stew beef?
No, Margaret, that's not it. You're going...
That's what she was doing. That's what your dear little Bobby was doing. That's what your dear friend is doing. I'm calling her up, trying to set her straight. And then she one-ups me with, no, you're the 20% fat in the hamburger. Go ahead, laugh.
You tell a funny story, Margaret.
What? Well, I don't understand. What do you mean I tell a funny story?
It's the way you tell the story. It's funny.
The way you...
No, wait a minute, bud. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What do you mean I'm funny? What does that mean, I'm funny?
You're just funny. I mean, the way you...
Funny how? Funny why? I'm funny to you how? What makes me so funny? Huh?
Just the way you tell us...
No, wait a minute. You said I was funny. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, I said you were funny.
How am I funny? What makes you laugh? Am I a clown to amuse you? What makes me...
Get the hell out of here, Margaret.
Oh, I almost had you, though, didn't I?
Yeah!
God.
Almost had you. He was about to go. He was ready to go.
Yeah, he was. All ready to go.
I had you.
You know, you're a really funny girl. All right. Sorry. Preceding brought to you by the film Goodfellas. Now, couple more things that we wanted to tell you. First off, coming up this weekend, we're going to have the... What's going on?
Mr. Wheeler.
Yeah, Dean?
Hi, Phil. The purification ceremony has ended, and we think we have been able to work with Mr. Bozell. Steve is here, as a matter of fact. You want to get on the extension, Steve?
I'm Sherry. Hi, Steve Bozell.
Oh, you're at the... Are you at the ashram?
Yes, sir, I am. We came up about 20 minutes ago, my wife and I.
Man, you got on a plane fast, huh?
I took a friend's plane. He's flying up here. He was on his way up to Han Ranch, and we went ahead and came with him.
And what's going on?
Well, right now the purification process has started, and I'm in the sauna, or they call it what? This is a sweat lodge that we're in, so we're trying to sweat all. We're sweating all of the triviality out of him. Because Steve's problem isn't that he has fear. Steve's problem is that he is filled with trivial concerns. And so in this lodge, where we are able to perform the said ceremony, this is, we're sweating all the trivial notions away from you, Steve.
Appreciate it.
Do you feel yourself, what's going on?
I just feel like I'm less silly about things now.
Yeah, the silliness is being sweated out of him.
How do you sweat the silliness out?
Who's that?
This is Robert Leonard, sir. How do you sweat out a silly?
You sweat the silliness out by just... You sit and you sweat. I don't know.
You seem to be working, Greg.
You sit and sweat?
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't really know how to help him. I said, well, why don't you sit and sweat in the lodge for a while?
So, in other words, you don't have any process by which he can get rid of his fear of needles. You just sit him in a sauna and...
Get his mind off of it.
I thought you were doing some purification thing.
Oh, we are. We are. But that costs $100.50. And...
All right, thanks a lot.
Oh, yeah. Now he's pissed off because I said I charged money. You didn't charge me.
Thank you very much, guys. We'll see you on Monday. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. Join us online at philhendryshow.com, where we, of course, each and every day have a live video cast of our radio show for you to enjoy, for you to amuse yourself with. Don't forget the Milwaukee Lions on Monday at 1 o'clock, Monday afternoon, 1 o'clock, right here on the website, for those of you who are looking at our Phil TV in HD, and the audio radio call of the Lions with Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. Until Monday night, this is Phil Hendry saying, enjoy the weekend and let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.